Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. May the living Christ be the focus of our worship this hour.
Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful day that he has blessed us with. It was good to have any first-time guests with us. Thank you for joining us in worship this morning. We gather here to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As you have gathered, we have many opportunities I do want to remind you of. We do have a busy day here at First Baptist Church of Elon. For those that were here last Sunday, you were reminded of the many activities coming up this afternoon and this evening. I do want to remind you, our ministry teams, this afternoon at 4 o'clock, church council will be meeting upstairs. Please, all ministry teams, have a representative there at our church council meeting this afternoon at 4. Also, I want to remind you, everyone is invited out at 5 o'clock for our fellowship meal upstairs in the fellowship hall. It will be a wonderful time to gather around the table for a time of fellowship. Everyone is invited. This is a wonderful time of gathering around the table to enjoy a wonderful meal. It is a smorgasbord of a meal tonight, from what I understand from Kathy Hines. So everybody come out and enjoy that time of fellowship tonight at 5 p.m. I do want to remind our youth, shortly after that meal, we will have our intensity study in the youth room. Also, our adults are reminded that we do have our Elon Roundtable meeting this evening at 5:30 following that fellowship meal. So please come out for that time of business that we'll be discussing. There are a few items on the agenda that will be voted on. Also, some updates on some ministry items just from some of our ministry team. So please come out this evening. A wonderful time of discussion, a time of fellowship, a time of study. So a wonderful opportunity of ministry this evening. Some of the other things coming up that I do want to remind you of, for ministry teams or anybody who wants to have items placed in the newsletter, this Sunday is the deadline to get items into our September newsletter. Janice will appreciate those items sent to her this Sunday. Janice will be off this week. I do want to remind you about that, so please, please be in prayer for Gay and myself. We are going to hold down the fort, but as we know, Janice is an integral part of our team. She is the glue that holds our team together, so the glue will be away this week, so we will try to hold things together as best we can. Please be in prayer for us this week, please get those newsletter items to her. Send them via email if you have anything you would like to get into the September newsletter for this upcoming month. Also, reminder to our senior adults, our senior adult luncheon is coming up in September on Tuesday, September 10th. You saw those sign up sheets in the Sunday school classrooms and the communication centers. We'll have a wonderful opportunity to hear a musician come and sing and playing the guitar. It will be a wonderful time of fellowship coming up in September. Many other items coming up. You'll hear more about next Sunday morning. Gail will be coming to share some details about that opportunity coming up next Sunday on August 25th in just a few moments. As we gather here this morning, we do want to gather around God's Word, reading from Exodus chapter 3, reading verses 13 through 15. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.'" The same God that spoke to Moses thousands of years ago is the same God who has summoned us to be here this day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, as we gather here this morning, we gather here knowing that you have summoned us. I Am has summoned us here this day, and we thank you. We thank you for the privilege to gather in your presence. Father, we give you thanks for just the privilege and honor it is to not just be in your presence, to worship who you are, and to give you thanks for the honor and the privilege to worship you. Father, reveal yourself to us this day through the word that is spoken, through the word that is sung, and the word that is revealed to us. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and sing our hymn of praise, the communion hymn, "Behold the Lamb."
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made to all who come in faith, but forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, of his thing, of his sacrifice, as a sign of our bond of
The body of our Savior Jesus Christ torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, pay the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of grace. Around the table of the King, love scenes with every stain of sin shed for you. Drink and remember, he drained this cup in that we enter in to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love. Around the table of the King, and so we thankfulness and faith we rise to respond and to remember ourselves to follow his body here on earth. We share in his suffering. We proclaim Christ will come again when we join in the feast of heaven. Around the table of the King, we share in his suffering. We proclaim Christ will come again and will join in the feast of heaven. Around the table of the King.
You may be seated. Current teachers and our retired teachers. I don't know if you know or not, but we have over 40 educators in this congregation, whether they're current or retired. And we started this about 3 years ago, and I would like to continue doing this. And we're honoring our educators, but it's for the whole church, the entire church. It's a church-wide breakfast to honor our educators. And so at 9 o'clock next Sunday morning, we would like for everybody to come and have breakfast and fellowship around the table at 9 o'clock as we honor our retired educators that have spent many, many, many years in the classroom, that have put up with many, 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 many children. And those who are still educating our children, we'd like to honor them also. And you have seen this flyer up around the halls of the church, and I sent out flyers to those who have email inviting you, so please come and be our guests Sunday morning, the whole church. And also during the 11 o'clock worship, we're having our back to school blessing of the backpacks. So if you're in the nursery age, school age, college age, please bring your book bags and we will bless them as you start school on Monday. It's hard to believe it's here, isn't it, kids and young adults? It's hard to believe we're back in school almost. So next Sunday will be a full morning, and so it's here. For Wes, it's already here, I think. I think he's already in school, aren't you? But bring your backpacks, whatever they're called now, and we will bless you as you enter into the halls of school. Our offertory hymn this morning is, hold on, let me flip the page, In Remembrance of Me. Let's stand and let's worship together.
remembrance of me. Eat this bread in remembrance of me. Drink this wine in remembrance of me. Pray for the dying when God's own will is done.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we gather around a table of remembrance, that we don't let it lose its significance. That we remember a sacrifice and a gift given to us, unworthy as we may be, something that gives us eternal salvation. You have given us more than we deserve. And we gratefully give back just a small portion of that to you so that it can be used to do your work and further your kingdom. We pray that we'll do it cheerfully and with love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
One thing that hasn't changed through the years around here, it's the eatin'est church I ever seen. When I first came here 30 years ago, I weighed 150 pounds. Let's pray. Eternal God, our Father, we praise your holy name for who you are, the God of creation, the God of compassion, the God of salvation. And we come this hour thanking you for the gift of your Son, who gave his life on the cross of Calvary that we might have life now in abundance and forever in that home not built by human hands. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your healing. We thank you for hearing our prayers, for knowing our needs and meeting them even when at times we don't recognize it. Forgive us for those times. Forgive us for our failings, for leaving things undone that we should be about, for things we say, for things we think. And, O Lord, as you taught your disciples to pray, help us to be forgiving of others as we experience your forgiveness. Speak to us through your word this hour, and as we gather around your table, through Christ who is Lord. Amen. We're going to take a little break from Acts this morning. Go to John chapter 3, familiar passage for most of us. Beginning with verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." And in reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "Well, how can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "Well, how can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." The word of God for the people of God. You know, one way we survive in this world in which we live is through the workings of our intellect, our conscious and unconscious attempts to make sense of the world. The world comes to us in sense impressions, images, and all kinds of stimuli. Our brain takes in these impressions and images, and then rummaging around in our past experiences, attempts to label, characterize, and pigeonhole these things. We call this making sense of, or defining our world, or figuring stuff out. That's what we call it. Most of the time, this kind of thinking serves us well. For instance, I'm driving down the road and this huge object is coming at me, and I don't have to pause and ask myself, well, is that a tree or an elephant? No, I see the image of that object, and in an instant I say, it's a freight truck. Turn the wheel to the right. If you're a child, you don't have that storehouse of experiences on which to draw. And so you have to ask your parents, what's that? And they say, that's a truck. And so you file that away in your brain, and the next time you see that, you say, oh, that's a truck. I remember when our boys were little, that was about 40 years ago, they used to ask questions, as I'm sure all of your children did and your grandchildren do. What's that? What's this? What's that? Over and over and over again till you get sick of them asking. But that's how they learn. That's how we all learn. This type of thinking is heavily dependent upon our past experiences. So if you encounter something that is truly new, then you are at a disadvantage in thinking about it. Another disadvantage of this kind of thinking is that it tends toward thoughtless pigeonholing and labeling, because we look at something at a glance and say, oh, that's a truck. And when somebody says, well, how do you know that's a truck? And you say, well, you've seen one truck, you've seen them all. Right? Sure we do. As adults, sometimes we don't really see things because we have become so adept at labeling and defining and pigeonholing. We sure do that with people, don't we? Especially during political season, we're really good at that. Why, that person's a that and this one's a this. Even though we have really no idea what they are, we just automatically assume that. We make a judgment, we define them on the basis of hearsay. And we've become really good at doing that because we use anonymous emails and Facebook posts and all that as our basis for judgment without any reality whatsoever. And you're sitting there wondering, what in the world does that have to do with our scripture passage this morning? Well, let me tell you. An educated man has come to have a conversation with Jesus. And his name is Nicodemus, and he is full of questions for Jesus. I've heard some amazing things about you, Rabbi. Let me ask a few things. How can a man be born again when he's old? How in the world can somebody enter into their mother's womb a second time and be born? How in the world can this be? And through all the questions and others that he asks of Jesus that night, Nicodemus is really asking another question. Jesus, who are you anyway? Isn't that the question? The one we all ask? When it comes right down to it, we ask, who is Jesus? Now, like Nicodemus, we've heard some rumors about Jesus, about some of the amazing things he has done. We've heard of his teaching, and just enough to be confused by it. Who are you, Jesus? Many of us can identify with Nicodemus. Maybe that's why you're here this morning. We've heard just enough about Jesus to be confused by him. Can we really believe all those reports about Jesus? Are they really true? Who is he? Can he both be an earthly human being and God at the same time? Was he really raised from the dead? Did he really raise other people from the dead? Was he a great teacher, or was he divine? Who is Jesus? Reading from the text from John, we get the impression that Nicodemus didn't get many of his questions answered. Jesus' answers seem to be more mysterious and incomprehensible than ever. Nicodemus begins his conversation at night, but by the time the passage ends, Jesus is the one doing all the talking, not Nicodemus. Nicodemus appears to just be sitting there in dumbfounded silence. He thought he could get a fix on Jesus. He thought he could define Jesus once and for all, pigeonhole him and label him. After all, isn't that what we do when we don't understand somebody? I don't know that Nicodemus got much understanding or definition from all of his questions. You see, sometimes Jesus doesn't deliver easy answers to us. What Nicodemus got that night was Jesus. That's what he got. Nicodemus has come out of the darkness seeking and probing and questioning, and doing so, he engages Jesus in one of the longest, most theologically revealing conversations in all of Scripture. So, on this Sunday, I want those of us who may still be confused by Jesus or are full of questions about who Jesus really is, I want us to take Nicodemus as our role model, for us to come in out of the darkness and go ahead and ask Jesus the questions that we have about him. Use all of your God-given mental capacities to try to think about Jesus. And then listen to him. Simply enjoy being with him. Give thanks that we have the sort of God who wants to be with us, who condescends to even speak to us, who shares truth with us even when we can't comprehend that truth, even if we can't define this God. I've heard people say that Christians are those who have figured it all out, who have satisfactorily defined who Jesus is for themselves, who believe it all and have no more questions whatsoever. And to that I say, hogwash. It's not possible. You see, Jesus is that elusive, free, sovereign, and living God who makes sense out of us. We don't make sense out of him. We've got to risk coming to him and listening to him, even when we don't always grasp what he's talking about. Do you understand all of Scripture? I don't, and I've been studying this for a long, long time. Jesus speaks to Nicodemus about wind and about birth, two of the most mysterious, uncontrollable of earthly phenomena. In meeting Jesus, We come face to face with a living God, the living God. We can't define Jesus. He defines us. He meets with us, talks with us, invites us to follow him even when we don't always understand him. And that's what Nicodemus did. You see, we meet Nicodemus again in chapter 19 of John. When Jesus was horribly crucified, when most of his disciples have run off and hidden, Nicodemus is one of the very few of people who come together and they lovingly bury Jesus. How could it be that one so full of life, the Savior of the world, be so horribly crucified? There at the tomb, Nicodemus doesn't ask any questions. He just does what is right. He risks being associated with Jesus. He is a disciple. He is a follower of Jesus. You see, you don't have to have completely figured out Jesus in order to follow Jesus. In fact, if you wait until you figure out Jesus completely before you follow him, you'll never follow him because you can't figure out Jesus completely. Why? Because Jesus is God, and God is different from us. He's the creator. We're the created. If we ever think we know God completely, we put ourselves up on his level, and that's blasphemy. We are not God. You're not God. I'm not God. God is God. There's a mystery about God that we will never understand. That's what makes him different from you and I. God is God. Nobody else. Will you follow Jesus? Even if you can't define him, even if you don't always understand him, if you will walk with him, the promise is that he will walk with you every step of your life. He will welcome you in as he did Nicodemus that night. You see, faith is not in the understanding. Faith is in the following. Faith is not in fixing in our brains exactly who Jesus is, as it is in exposing ourselves to his life breathing over our own lives. He's the one who gives us life. Will we dare to expose ourselves to such a free and living presence, or will we continue to demand proof of who he is on our terms? You see, we try so hard to define and to get Jesus, and yet he is our living Lord, and he will not let us define him. He will not let us limit who he is according to our own knowledge. It takes faith to let Jesus get us. Will you let Jesus get you in faith? Jesus Christ is the free, exalted, sovereign Son of God. He will not be contained. He will not be defined. He will not be limited. He will not be constrained by our intellect or our spiritual limitations. He does not offer himself to us for our limited proofs and validations. Rather, he comes to us. He offers himself to us. He talks to us and he beckons us to follow him into unknown territory. And the question for all of us, are we ready to follow him and take that adventure? Scripture says that Jesus resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem, the journey to the cross, where he knew he would suffer and die. The question is, will you go with him? Will you take up your cross daily and follow him? Who is Jesus to you? The question this morning is, who is Jesus? And the hymn writer answered the question as best as possible. You know the line. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's who he is. That's who he is. The risen Lord Jesus invites you to his table this morning to remember the sacrifice he has made for each one of us, for you in particular, and me, for all. Remember, faith is not in the intellect, it's in the following. And he bids us come to his table, to the glory of God the Father. When our deacons come forward.